Champion players, champion club. Melbourne wins another one.
Yes, it is! Rhys Carey brings up her 200 in style.
Full Sam.
For all your sports news, reviews, and interviews, you listen to the Sports Desk here on Sin. Yes, good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Wednesday edition of the Sports Desk here on Sin 90.7. You are listening to a new voice. It is me, Ben, EP of the Sports Desk, and our two regulars are still on board, mind you. We have Liam O'Grady and Caleb Scanlon. Boys,
EP,
how are we?
EPs don't usually talk. You love the spotlight, Ben.
I do. So, I love talking.
It's all about Ben here.
It is. I should be naming it the Ben Desk.
Yeah, I was about to say the Ben Desk, yeah. Maybe that for, next year, go to the Ben Desk.
In fairness, why I did not throw it to you in like the last 5 seconds of the intro there, just pointed at you and said,
yeah,
you're
going to
bring
it up. I thought you were going to do it, and then you told me. All right, anyway, we're here to talk about sport, not me. So we're going to start off with some AFL, and Easter Monday was absolutely enormous. Now, hopefully you boys watching the telly. I was lucky enough to be there live, and it was by far and away the best match of the season. For those that don't know, Hawthorn got over the line 118 to 117 in, by far, as I said, the best match of the season. The game was to and fro. Hawthorn kicked clear. I think they were around 4 goals clear at one stage in the fourth term. The Cats came back, and then Jared Rufford kicked a crucial behind. But we'll talk about some of the talking points that we've got highlighted here, and that was Cyril Rioli. Now, apparently the Channel 7 commentary team really absolutely loved him and may have gone over the top.
I didn't notice.
This is over the top. Has he been overrated? Is he overrated?
No, I wouldn't say overrated. I think there seems to be this love affair going on with Cyril Rioli, and I've always advocated for people to look past the stats, and everyone's arguments against Rioli are always stat-based. He never accumulates stats. But as a fan of footy, I go to the footy to watch. I don't know about you guys, but I'd prefer to see a Rioli have 10 touches of influence than someone that accumulates possessions. I don't think I go to a live game of footy and notice people accumulating possessions.
That's the thing with Rioli. You don't go. The reason why that hype man every time goes near the ball is because you don't know what he's going to do. He could turn the game on his head, or he could do nothing. Unfortunately, on Monday he did nothing. Mm. But that was not the worst commentary in the game, not by a long shot. I know they probably didn't mention it much, but Ablett, Sarwood, and Danger play on the same team.
Did they play together?
I know. It wasn't mentioned at all.
I didn't see them play together.
No. And
of course I did. That was the main reason why I went.
It was the worst commentary. Believe it or not, Hawthorn was actually on the field. Apart from Cyril, you would not be able to tell that another team was playing or the other players on the field. Bloody hell.
Was it the focus on Gary Ablett, Dangerfield, and Joel Selwood that kind
Rufford
of annoyed
could
you?
Be lining up for a goal, and I'd be like, wow, Selwood, Dangerfield, and Ablett.
Yeah, they were certainly salivating over the idea of the big three, weren't they?
But can we
call it a big four yet with Tim Kelly in the midfield?
He seemed pretty good. Second gamer.
He had 27 disposals, 4 tackles, kicked a goal.
Oh, he was Geelong's
Joel
best.
Joel Selwood had 29, so only 2 more touches than Tim Kelly.
He was Geelong's best, though. I do believe Tim Kelly was Geelong's best all-around player. That's better than Ablett or Dangerfield.
Do you reckon Geelong need to reshuffle their midfield? Do you reckon they need to stick one of either Gary Ablett or Dangerfield in the forward line? They can't stack that centre bounce.
They need a back
much.
Line. Their issue is their back line. They need a back line. Mm.
They can stack the midfield. Mm. Like I don't mind saying that, but I would probably prefer to see Dangerfield up forward, and then Gary Ablett. So like Dangerfield deep in the forward line, because he's just that presence of danger. He's so huge. He's got correct. That big body. He can easily fill that forward spot.
Yep.
And obviously you've got Ablett, who's just so mercurial. He can just find a goal out of basically nothing. And 100%. We saw that banana goal. I mean,
It was a banana.
Hey, that was great. Oh. But yeah, I think you got to play one of them up forward. Whether or not you play both at the same time up forward is another question. But yeah, Tim Cully, he's had a phenomenal start to the season. He's been the recruit of the year by far.
Send us to a text. Our text line's back up and running. We're on 0447 5191170. Text us through what your thoughts are on the makeup of Geelong's guts. My personal opinion, I think they're maybe a little bit too attacking. That you know, Jolser would be the most defensive of those midfielders if we're talking about the big three. So if Dangerfield and Gary Ablett turn the ball over in the crazy scenario that happens, puts a lot of pressure on their other mids and other defensive mids to go back.
It happened a lot on the weekend. On Monday, sorry. They were too offensive minded, and they, on time and time again, Hawthorn just kicked goals way too easily.
Yeah.
So Geelong had turned the ball over, and Hawthorn, within like 10 seconds, they just moved the ball. Either they'd switch it or they just move it down the line, down the centre, and they'd find an easy goal. So the amount of running goals, I don't have the exact stats on that, but just watching it live, it felt like Geelong were too offensively, they had a too offensive mindset, and Hawthorn were just able to reap the rewards, which saw them get that early lead. And yeah, if they don't win the ball, which can happen in footy, they don't always, that three won't always win the ball.
Yep.
Their defence needs to bolster up for sure. But yeah, Hawthorn were great at exploiting Geelong on that, for sure.
My biggest issue with the game, and everyone knows there are the protective species in football.
Mm-hmm.
Every team has them. Brisbane have Zorko. Bulldogs have the Bont. Freo has Fife. Geelong has three. Sherwood, Danger and Ablett. There was two cases in the last 5 minutes where Danger should have been pinned for holding the ball. Ablett should have been pinned for illegal disposal.
Yeah.
Granted, Burton should have been pinned for the best rugby league pass I've ever seen.
Yeah. But, I think I know the one. Yeah.
But it was the free kick. All up between the three, it was 10 free kicks for, 5 against. Sherwood got 5 of them, led the game for free kicks as well.
No surprises. Cali got
4, so maybe he might be up there with the protective species soon, getting that extra treatment from the umpire. It was a terrible umpiring wise. The last 5 minutes was absolutely terrible.
I thought they seemed to put the whistle away, but I think that was good because
they put it away for most of the fourth quarter. But I do agree with Liam. They just brought the whistle out for the last 5 minutes, and I'm not going to name names here, but I will. Troy Pennell, he was umpiring in the middle, and just the amount of free kicks that he paid were just left throughout the whole game was just over the top and ridiculous. So, obviously, we don't like bagging the umpires, but
Razor,
I think
Ray's
on this,
got his number on his boots now.
That was a bit special. Mind you, I did love the deliberate call that he made on Guthrie. Guthrie didn't get tackled; he just rolled over. So I love that deliberate call. But yeah, I think they brought it out. They went a bit overboard in that last 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they had umpired that last 5 minutes like they did the whole fourth quarter, which was putting the whistle away, would have been fantastic. But I don't know. What can you do? It's done now.
Yeah. I'm just going to say one last thing on the Easter Monday clash. I thought it was good to see the Torp had sort of come back. And in that last 2 minutes, Tui torped it out of the...
Tui's good with the Torp.
Torped it out of the back line to the kick in.
And it went like 49 or 48. Didn't make the 50.
Didn't make the 50, but... there was a bit of a scuffle, and then Cam Guthrie picked the ball up off the halfback line and maybe was a little bit inspired, went to Torpet and turned it over straight away, and that was game over. So
I think did Selwood also go for a Torp, or was it just a kick clanger?
It might have been a clanger, but I'm not 100% sure on that one.
Yeah,
but I remember just thinking to myself, Cam Guthrie, that's the coach killer there. You need to just take that extra second, you know, find a mark, because... Turned it over, then it went into the stoppage, and
that's
game
it.
Over.
Yep. All right, so that wraps up our chat on Easter Monday. We'll get into the general AFL chat. And one thing that I was surprised about, not sure about you guys, but Josh Caddy, he was offered a one-game ban for a hit on Adelaide's David Mackay on the Thursday night clash. He hasn't appealed it. So should he have appealed it first of all, and should he have been suspended in the first place?
So the incident, if I'm not wrong, is the spoil that he goes for and ends up punching him. Yeah, I thought he was a bit stiff. I thought he could have appealed it. But I don't know whether it's more to do with the new system. It seems like no one's getting any leniency at all. We saw Robbie Gray challenge it, and the club got fined.
Yeah.
Is there a certain scenario you're a bit Richard Douglas bit sore
challenged
about?
It. There was Katie Brennan challenged it. I don't know if you heard about that one. That was kind of big.
Who's Katie Brennan?
Yeah. Was it for a big game or?
Just the AFL Women's Grand Final. You know what? We didn't need it. We still won. So
there we go.
Not too salty.
Someone's head just grew a bit bigger there.
The bias is back.
We might talk about doggies a bit later. We'll just make that head a bit smaller.
I thought it was interesting you didn't appeal it, but I reckon that this whole new system is set up so that there can be less, there's less movement from the original decision. So the original decision, I think,
yeah, you've really
got
to change his, you've really got to prove that you didn't mean it.
Mm. Well, I think Caddy had a case. Obviously, I still think under the same match review panel system as last season, he would have been suspended.
Yep.
I think that one-week ban was correct, which left it open for him, in my opinion, to appeal it. The fact that it was a one-game ban, I felt that, why not appeal it? So clearly it looked like, from my stance, he was going for the ball, and then obviously the ball's gone past him, he's just followed through, and obviously when you make head contact, you're going to get a week. Mm. But the fact that the ball was literally, what, only a couple of centimetres away from his hand.
Yeah.
And because it's in the heat of the moment, he's gone through with it. I felt there was grounds to appeal, so I think he should have appealed it. And I actually do believe that 1 week was right, but it did leave it open for an appeal. So I was pretty disappointed that Richmond decided not to appeal that ban.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's get into some top eight predictions. So only round
in order.
Two rounds in.
In order.
But, this started because I went to Ben before the show saying there's only 9 teams that can play finals now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll start with you then, Liam. Well, who are the? Let's go with your 9 teams that can play finals.
Well, I'll do my top eight, then I'll do my special ninth. I still got my
Melbourne ninth.
My
not
grand
the
final
Richmond
prediction.
Ninth.
Yeah.
With Adelaide Geelong top two, still from a few weeks ago. GWS, Port, Richmond, Sydney, Adelaide, Essendon, and then Melbourne in ninth spot, just like last year.
Melbourne in ninth spot. Melbourne
in ninth.
Choke again?
They just haven't impressed at all. They were lucky to. And I said to Ben on Monday, if they played against a better team, Brisbane would have run over the top of them.
Fair enough.
I'm surprised we came back in that last quarter, mind you.
Granted, they were stiff to lose to Geelong, but again, the fact that they lost proves the point. They couldn't. They had, I think, the last 3 minutes, the ball was inside their 450, and they just could not kick that goal.
Yeah, didn't seem like anyone could kick that goal, to be honest.
What about who's next?
I'll go. Sure. GWS, Adelaide, Sydney, Geelong, and then bottom four, the top eight. I'll go Melbourne, Richmond. Who haven't I said? Essendon, and who am I missing?
Hawthorn
put them up to seventh.
So who are you kicking out the eight? You've done all nine.
Who did I kick out of the eight? God, I just did it off my head. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I'm gonna go with my top four and my bottom four because yeah, I'm going to try and work out because I just still think that middle tier is still, there's a lot to work out. Currently, North Melbourne sit fifth.
Well, Gold Coast are undefeated.
Gold Coast are undefeated.
Gold Coast are going to be.
The big one for me is Port Adelaide. I think on the weekend they showed that they can beat a top eight side, which is huge for them. But
Will that be their only win against a top eight side this season?
Funnily, Sydney Swans are sitting ninth on the ladder right now, so they still haven't.
So I don't count it. Personally, they have to be the team in the top eight, and then at the end of the round, the team still has to be in the top eight. So it's a...
Technicalities all around.
Does not count to me. It
doesn't
count. Not count.
You heard it here first. Port still have not defeated a top eight side.
My top four, I'm going to go GWS first, Port Adelaide second. I still think that Geelong, even though they lost on the weekend, I still think they'll get into that top four. I think they might finish third, and then I reckon Adelaide fourth. I think Richmond will finish just outside. I reckon Richmond will go fifth. My bottom four, and it pains me to say this, Western Bulldogs will finish in the bottom four. They looked insipid on the weekend.
Oh, I've put them in the bottom one, actually. I've changed my spring prediction now.
I think Collingwood, don't really like the way they're looking at the moment. Carlton are another one that looked very, very poor on the weekend. And the last one I'm going to say is St Kilda. I don't... I think they'll probably finish fourth or fifth last. They didn't look great on the weekend. I don't think it's, they won against Brisbane the week before, but I just don't think that they're, you know, they've lost Riewoldt and Montagna. It's too big of a loss for them, and they looked pretty crap on the weekend.
Yeah, St Kilda were a shock for me, personally as well. I mean, many had, and I think even they have had high hopes of finals for this season, and yep, definitely in future
Alan
seasons
Richardson
also.
Said they before he was, they reckon they could win the premiership this year. So,
well, there you go. And the fact that they didn't beat us convincingly,
yep,
in round one, I thought that was a little bit of a shock, first of all. And then to get absolutely, to get your pants pulled by North Melbourne, of all teams, on Good Friday, was just a shock. So, yeah, I tend to agree with you there on St Kilda. They were the team that I was most disappointed with.
And then who would be your team that you're maybe more impressed with then?
More impressed, easily Gold Coast.
Yeah, Gold Coast.
Easily Gold Coast.
Are you as well, Liam?
Yeah, and I make it clear that I don't like Fremantle supporters, but I spoke to a Fremantle supporter the other day about how excited I am for this Gold Coast Freo game, because it seems like a good game. Freo is coming off that big win against Essendon. Gold Coast on fire, and the person's like, Gold Coast haven't played any good teams, where Freo's played two top four contenders. But Gold Coast has played phenomenal footy.
Yeah.
They played, out of their eight quarters they played, three quarters they've only had one goal scored against them.
Yep.
So they played phenomenal, and against Freo, then they're spending 2 weeks there, so I think for them, they have to at least win one of those games.
Yep.
I think Freo's probably the best option to win.
Fair enough.
It's their home game, so.
Yeah. Look, the two teams the team I'm impressed with, Port Adelaide at the moment, disappointed with, it's an obvious one, I'm disappointed with the Dogs.
Just no bias at
no
all.
Bias whatsoever. But I think that disappointment is maybe amplified because I'm a Western Bulldogs fan.
So well,
you guys have been, though, really disappointing. Like,
oh, 100%.
Last season, we were disappointed by the fact that, obviously, premiership hangovers, there was kind of an expectation that may have happened, but I guess not that bad. But so far this season, it just looks like the bite's not back. And everyone was hoping it would be back, but it's the hunger's not there.
And now with Trengrove and Roughhead going to miss the Essendon game, it's going to be, who do you have in your team?
Yeah, it's a good question. you know what? We're going to be dissecting it on our podcast, The Kennel Cough. A shameless self-plug there with Neve from The Friday Show. We're going to be recording that after this. So if you want to join us with talking about what the heck is going on with the Dogs at the moment,
how unbiased would that be, though? Like, would be a biased point of view or unbiased?
We're fans that are very disappointed with the Dogs at the moment, so you'll hear some truth bombs be told on the Kennel Cough.
Like, I've told a Bulldogs fan to strap in for the next 61 years.
Maybe not that far. We won't be suggesting anything like that. We're planning for the draft. It's meant to be a super draft this year.
Oh, tanking, oi!
Tanking, oi,
we heard
since
that first. Bulldogs are tanking from Caleb.
I got no insider knowledge whatsoever, but I'm all for it.
He's all for tanking. You heard it here first on the sports desk.
We are talking Commonwealth games this morning on the sports desk. And as always, if you want to text in any kind of questions, 0475 883 705. We're joined by Jake Stevens on the line at the moment. Jake's our reporter, pretty much over there in the Gold Coast.
We'll give him the sports desk reporter.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Jake. How's it going?
Yeah, it's good. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. It's an exciting time.
Fantastic, mate. The Gold Coast Commonwealth Games have been reported to be the flashiest and probably the most exciting Commonwealth Games. How's the atmosphere over there? Are you feeling, is there a buzz around the city, as they're all saying?
I can't quite tell you just yet because I'm actually on my way to the airport right now, but in true Gold Coast fashion, I'm sure it'll be pretty flashy. I'm sure it'll be big and have all the razzle-dazzle that the Gold Coast is known for. And yeah, you're absolutely right. It's going to be one of the biggest sporting events, Commonwealth Games style since 2006 when Melbourne hosted it. The fifth time that it's coming back to Australia, and it's set to see 6,600 athletes and officials from all the Commonwealth nations, 71 Commonwealth nations actually. There's 18 sports, 7 para sports, part of the biggest ever para sport program of the Commonwealth Games, and it's obviously set to be a big one. At the Gold Coast itself, there's basketball up in Cairns and Townsville, so they're sharing the love, and there's going to be cycling in Brisbane as well. just noted down here that the tickets is expecting to be 95% sold.
Oh, wow, nice.
So, that's incredible.
So it's, yeah, going to be a big one. It has have a bit of a muted build-up on the way in, but certainly an exciting time.
Interesting you talk about the muted build-up. Do you think that there's been... has that got anything to do with the Channel 9 sort of media accreditation thing that's come into it, or do you think it's more just to do with a disinterest to do with the Commonwealth Games?
Yeah, it's a, it's an interesting one, actually, that Channel 9 situation. Channel 9 showed some leaked footage of the opening ceremony, which is set to kick off tonight, but so they had their media accreditation banned for the opening ceremony. I believe that they're going to review it and probably let Channel 9 tune back in and grab some footage and whatnot throughout the games, but they'll make that decision tomorrow. In terms of media restrictions, it's actually been one of the most, I guess, tightest restrictions that we've seen for a major sporting event in Australia in a long time. And it's certainly got the guide up of a lot of media organisations. News Corp and Fairfax were both threatening to boycott the game's coverage for a little while there because there are really strict rules on how news organisations are able to use the footage of competition, of interviews, of press conferences, things like they have to wait 30 minutes or 60 minutes after the press conference concludes until they can post it online. So there's a lot of rules, and I don't know if they're going to crack down on them very hard. They obviously have in this situation where they've given Channel 9 the bit of a warning being shot across the bow, but yeah, I guess it's part of that. I don't know if there's a disinterest in the Commonwealth Games. It's hard to say. I have a feeling once it sort of kicks off and once we start winning gold medals, I have no doubt the Australian public will be on board. Who doesn't love to see an Aussie green and gold on the top of the podium?
Exactly.
G'day, mate. It's Liam here. Since we kind of lost to England last Commonwealth Games. We came second in the medal tally. What do you think our chances are this year?
Yeah, that was not a good time in Glasgow 2014. It was actually the first time since Auckland in 1990 that Australia hasn't topped the medal table. So not great signs for us in recent times. But aside from that, really, it's probably only going to be England and Australia, obviously the two major competitors at the Commonwealth Games in terms of medals won. The Australian team, we've got 474 athletes, which is actually our biggest team. We had 312 in Melbourne 2006, to put that in perspective. Mm-hmm. The all-time gold medal count, Australia does have the edge over England.
Good result.
By a couple hundred, yes. So,
a couple hundred, yeah. That's always good to see.
Yeah, we won 49 gold in Glasgow, so hopefully we can certainly improve on that. In Melbourne 2006, which was one of our best games, we won 84 gold. So, look, there's plenty of medals to be won, but it'll just be, a lot of the time a contest between Australia and England, which is, that Ashes rivalry that it plays on. But it's, obviously certainly an exciting one, and hopefully with a home ground advantage, we can get the edge over the Poms.
Let's hope so. And
it's always good.
Yeah, just finally, who are the ones in particular to watch from an Australian perspective?
Yeah, it's a pretty hard question, to be honest, because there's obviously so much that you can watch. But, in the athletics, we've got Sally Pearson in the hurdles, the 2017 world champion, Kurt Fernley, the wheelchair athlete in the T54, 1500, and the marathon, is obviously a legend of Australian sport. Look, if you go over to the pool, you've got Kate from Bronte Campbell, Emily Seabom, the 200 backstroke world champion, Mac Horton, a 400-metre freestylist. You look at the cyclists, blokes like Cam Meyer, Annette Edmondson, fantastic medal chances there. And then, I guess if you look over the team sports, men's and women's basketball were a good chance to hopefully bring home a gold there. And, of course, the hockey, we're quite dominant in. The men have actually won every Commonwealth Games gold medal since Kuala Lumpur in 1998. So
Caleb absolutely loves his hockey.
I'm a hockey player myself, so I'm glad you snuck that one in there. Thanks, Jake.
Well, you would have been delighted at the news that the other day Rockhampton's own Mark Knowles,
three-time
Commonwealth Games gold medalist, has been selected to carry the flag into the opening ceremony, which is happening tonight.
Yeah.
I will be there. An expected sold-out stadium of 40,000 there at Carrara Stadium, the previous home of the Gold Coast Suns, but not for the next 2 weeks because it's going to be, I guess, the centrepiece of the Commonwealth and the all eyes of Australia are hopefully going to be set on the Gold Coast.
Absolutely. Jake, thanks so much for your time, mate, and hopefully we'll get to hear some more things from you on Sports Desk over the next 2 weeks. Thanks heaps, mate.
No worries, I'll keep you updated.
Cheers. Have a good
one. Thank you. Bye.
Yes, Jake Stevens there on his way to the Gold Coast. He's a current SIN member and he's over there working for Jump Media and Marketing. So glad to have him. We'll be having him over the next 2 weeks here on the Sports Desk. So really good to have someone up there in the Gold Coast getting up close and personal in the Com game. So, boys, just quickly before we head to a break, what are our expectations for these Com games? What do we hope to see?
For the win.
And how do we think we'll go?
I think we usually always finish, well, apart from finishing second last time, we usually finish first in the medals tally, mostly because America and China aren't involved. But I think, we'll do pretty well. It's always good for young up-and-coming athletes, the Commonwealth Games are good for.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Sally Pearson. I think she'll be one to watch. Also kind of excited to see the Australian swim team. As Jake said, they didn't get too many medals at the Rio Olympics. The C-bomb and the Campbell sisters, bit underperformed, but let's hope that they can get back to their best. Another one I'm kind of keen to see is Liz Cambage from the Opals, the basketballers. I think she might be hopefully tearing it up and getting the basketballers in good stead.
Well, yeah, a lot of hype about the basketball, the NBL, so it's going to be good to see how the Aussies basketballers go.
Basketball is booming. For me, I just want to see some six... That was a good pun.
Yes.
I didn't even realise. I just realised. Jeez, I'm good. Yeah, the Australian men's team are called the Boomers. So,
Ben's
thanks. You,
got,
you guys
morning.
Picked that up. I didn't pick that up myself. I'm just a natural. I just want to see us get some success again. I mean, after it was a mediocre Olympics campaign in 2016. Obviously, the Winter Olympics, not too much success there. I just need to see us, the Australians and the Australian sporting public, see some more success and hopefully they get their confidence back up for the next Olympic Games. But yeah, I think that wraps up the Com Games. Thanks again to Jake Stevens. He will be back throughout the 2 weeks. And now we're going to get stuck into the cricket.
Wait. I think we've got something here, lads.
We're talking about cricket.
No. I think there's something a bit bigger than the cricket on.
It can't be much bigger than the cricket.
Oh, I think it is.
There's one thing that's bigger than the cricket, Ben, and that is that today is your birthday.
Yes.
Oh,
so
no.
Happy birthday, Ben.
Thank you. And yesterday, it was your birthday.
It was a good time to be born around this time of the year.
It is.
3rd and 4th of April. So
fantastic time to be
alive.
So
I'm going to sing, can I?
No.
Really? I'm about out an absolute loose spicy carrot.
You can start
singing
at 10:01 a.m.
Oh,
just after,
yes,
after the mic.
You can sing. We can have a joint.
I would have got your cake, but I'm not have food in the studio. So unfortunately,
Caleb and I are committed to the sports desk, regardless. So, speaking of, we'll talk some cricket. Why not? Because it's been the talking topic for the last week and a half.
Yeah.
The cricketing world. Unfortunately, Australia went down to South Africa, and it was quite convincingly. Australia
it was 7 for 31 in to be all out for 119. Which
there you
is
go.
Pretty not the kind of things you want to be seeing in Test cricket, but nonetheless, it was an undermanned side, you could say.
Yeah, for sure. For losing out two highest Test run scorers over the last 5 years, I think it was.
Cam Bancroft,
and Warner.
Cam Bancroft was leading our run score and is still the highest run scorer for Australia in the whole series. So
that says a lot.
We've effectively gotten rid of our three highest run scorers, and then Tim Payne slots in there.
This is probably the last time we're talking about cricket for a long time.
Unfortunately,
I'm so over cricket.
I love talking cricket, but I just don't love talking about all this. But anyway,
this saga is nowhere near done, Liam. Unfortunately, this is going to...
Will this saga...
It's going to drag on.
Will this saga eclipse the Essendon drug scandal?
No way.
Okay, good.
I reckon, honestly, in 6 months to a year's time, it will have be reported on as a bit of an overreaction, I think.
I've already reported it as an overreaction. Yeah, do you think it's an overreaction?
Not an overreaction, but I think it will...
Overhyped. Has it been overhyped by the media?
Correct. And it's... we're probably guilty of it because we all need something to talk about, but it's been at the back page of every newspaper. And I honestly think that in 12 months' time, it'll be Steve Smith will be welcomed back into the game. David Warner probably won't be welcomed back into the game. Cam Bancroft will come in, and you know what? No one will really talk about it.
It's like what I said, and someone else, a few other people have said this as well, that even this is not the worst sporting thing to happen this year in Australian sport. And I said the fact that Matthew Logue is still playing for the Brisbane Broncos after he's beat up his ex-girlfriend, kept people hostage, had to be arrested at gunpoint.
That's something that we should be talking about. Not in comparison to this. That's a real issue.
That's a legal issue, and he's welcome back to NRL in open arms. And he's allowed to play, allowed to take photos of kids, same age as the kids he took hostage. And that's why the NRL is not a serious sport. And... They continue playing players like that. No, they want to clean up their image of that, you know, the drunken NRL player, and they get in an abuser like Matthew Loeb. I don't care what his name is.
Matthew Lodge.
His name's irrelevant. he's a scum of the earth, so his name's irrelevant.
Ooh.
And
Liam.
Shots fired on the Wednesday Going sports back. Desk.
So it kills the image of the NRL and their image they want to present.
All right, so just quickly, we'll go to the actual result of the game. So we got done by 492 runs. This is the first time, this is courtesy of the Fox Sports Stats Lab, the first time that Australia has gone through a series of at least four tests without scoring a century and also without a century partnership since 1970, which was coincidentally was Australia's last test series loss in South Africa. So playing side of things was not a good series at all on all fronts. So what is there any good that we can take out of this tour?
Tim Payne could probably be considered a positive. I think Pat Cummins, 22
he was,
wickets.
He was definitely our best player by far.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tim Payne, after he finished his cricket career, could go into a PR stunt because I think his gesture of the handshake after the game was fantastic image for Australia and almost started the healing. So I think that was really good to see. Other than that, not a whole lot of positives. You know, a series where no one scores 100 is alarm bells.
Mitchell Marsh, his hype's come back to earth. He's gone from the next captain to now getting out for a duck again.
Yeah, true. Where do you see the Australians like going forward? Do you reckon there's a bit of a break now? They'll come back for the cricket. Tour of England.
That's one day, so.
Do we see? Oh well, it's so far because there's so much has happened. It's been an absolute disaster of a tour. But do you think that Tim Payne will keep the captaincy, or do you reckon he'll?
That's an interesting.
Be passed on to someone. I mean, Tim Payne's fingers, they seem to be pretty fragile. And
Been fragile his whole career.
It's hard because I know you've said before that you don't think Smith's going to captain Australia again.
No, he can't. He can't captain Australia again. But, that's my thoughts anyway.
But yeah, let's say if Australia cricket intends on Smith captaining again, then he should be a short-term captain. But if not, we've got to think of a long-term. And Pat Cummins, even though he's only 24, could be the best one. There's really no one. Khawaja, maybe. But he seems to be on the outer as well as a player.
Well, they were talking Mitch Marsh, and there were earlier talks when Pete Hanscom was making runs that he could be potential captain. So, what do we think about those two instead of Payne?
Hanscom's Victorian, so we'll cut him out. He won't make it. There's a quiet criteria. New South Wales of WA, unless someone gets suspended, and then a Tasmanian will get it. So. You got to fit that criteria of Australian
Correct.
Captain.
And look, I mean, you're not no, wrong, Victoria, no Victorians were embroiled in the ball tampering saga. So it's a simple equation. You know, they need more Victorians.
Go
in the
team. Bush Rangers. Go to the Bush Rangers.
Stark maybe.
I think it's one of the, another one that was already in the leadership group that is unfortunately embroiled in that saga again.
Well, true, because we don't know how it's going to end. It could end with everyone in the 5-man leadership group getting suspended.
Well, we'll get back to that actually. The ACA, which is the Australian Cricketers Association, they want the bans for the ball tampering trio to be reduced. Do we agree with this?
It's a tough one. I think I think Steve Smith's one should be reduced. I think Bancroft's is accurate, and I think Warner's is accurate. I don't think... So from my understanding, that the events occurred as David Warner formulated the idea, you know, took bangers aside and said, this is what we should do. And then Steve Smith, who was quite a young captain, said, I don't want to know about it. I don't want to be a part of it. So while that's bad on his behalf, I think as a young captain... And David Warner's quite an intimidating person. Maybe I start to sympathise with Steve Smith a little bit more. Seeing his press conference, I...
Oh, no, no, no. I was a kid, you were a kid, and you were a kid. We've done something naughty, and we knew it was naughty, and we got caught, and then we cried because we got caught. I did not buy those tears for a second. He's upset because he got caught. He knew what he was doing the entire time, and he's done it before.
This is a guy that has played cricket for his whole life. He's dropped out of school. He didn't finish school because he just wanted to play cricket in England. That's all he lives and breathes. And
he knew what he was doing when he did it. He knew what he was doing when he did it. He only cried because he got caught.
He didn't really know about it. He saw it briefly and has gone like, nah. I don't want anything to do with it. And obviously that was really naive of him. And that is a cause of the fact that he had absolutely no control of Warner. Out of all the press conferences, to not believe, it was definitely Warner.
Warner cried on cue.
I think the pressure of the first two press conferences, where they both clearly genuinely cried, obviously some of Warner's tears would have been genuine. Like, I'm not saying that, but out of all to peer the... not to be real, it would have to be Warner. And he probably had pressure on him to cry anyway from the standard for the first two.
And he took, an extra day to formulate
which
his response.
Wasn't good. And the responses were absolutely terrible, just off the script.
There was questions about where other people involved, and he said, I'm here to talk about the incidences. Has this happened before? And he said, I'm here to talk about the incidences from this day. It's like,
Cape Town,
you're not whatever. You're not helping the situation, Warner.
Yeah, not at all.
I don't think David Warner did... himself any favours.
Oh, he did more harm but good. And he's the only one so far that might be appealing. I think everyone should just take their 12 months or 9 months.
Well, I think Warner's is perfect. I'd like to see Smith's reduced to maybe 9.
Yep.
And I think Bancroft should be reduced to 6.
Yeah.
I
do disagree with Bancroft, even though I feel bad for him more than anyone.
Bancroft, I know.
But he was the one that did it, so that's why I think the 9 months should stick.
The thing is, though... Put yourself in his shoes.
Oh,
now,
yeah, no,
people, everyone can say, and I've got all these mates who can say, oh, no, I'd never do that. I mean, you put yourself in the Australian cricket team, you get a senior person such as David Warner, who's got the influence as he does, you're going to do it.
Yeah, no, no.
I don't care who you are, you will do it. You're in the Australian cricket team. And if you don't do it, obviously you're going to lose the respect, which is the reason why you do it. So that's why I think Bancroft should get 6 months. And if anything, Warner should be suspended for more. Not just the 12 months.
I 100% agree with that. Like, I do 100% agree that I feel bad for Bancroft more than anyone out of the three. But the fact that it was him that got caught, that's the only reason why I think his 9 months should stick. Because it was him that did it.
We could talk about this for ages. But I'll end this cricket chat on a lighter note. And I've just come across the Fox Sports. Fox Sports have posted an article. And you know what? The South Africans and the Australians have come together at the end of the series. And they've shared a post-match beer. So,
that's a good result. You know, that's what you like to see.
As much as it looked like they hated each other, you know, they can still share a frothy after the series.
That's how it should be.
They just hated Warner, really.
Yeah. And we are going to get stuck into our fire wrap-up.
Rapid fire wrap-up. We're going to jump into the soccer overnight. Cristiano Ronaldo booted his 119th Champions League goal in style in their 3-0 win over Juventus. And Liam, I can confirm it was a bicycle kick and it was slightly better than Luke Parker's
goal. Slightly
better
than Luke Parker.
Just marginally.
Let's jump to the NBA. And at the moment, the Philadelphia 76ers are playing the Brooklyn Nets. So far, at the end of the second, so far, Ben Simmons, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and 10 points. Maybe another triple-double's coming his way.
Hopefully.
What's
the
score? 53-46?
Yeah, 53-46 with 2 minutes left in the second. And then the other match at the moment, that's a big talking point, is Cleveland are currently up by 14 points over Toronto, who are the number one seed in the East.
What a huge game, yeah.
Cleveland winning 58-44, and basically almost an identical time as the Philly game.
How's LeBron going? Oh, he's doing okay. four rebounds, three assists.
Liam just having a conversation with himself there, just live on air.
Thanks for that, Liam.
I can't wait. I'm actually the Liam show is going to be next season. Yeah, it's going to be me, one man show.
New Zealand has defeated England in its 2-match Test series in the cricket. They drew overnight, and it was Wagner did a outstanding batting job at the end, making 7 runs off 108 balls to get the draw, which was pretty exciting cricket, I can imagine.
James Hurd decided not to go to Fremantle, which, as a Fremantle fan, I'm happy with. And also, Arazio Fantasia might be back for the Bombers, which we'll find out more on the Flying Up podcast.
Arazio Fantasia.
On the Flying Up podcast.
Back.
I plugged my show before, so tell us a little bit about the Flying Up podcast.
Well, the Flying Up podcast is where I pretend to be an Essendon supporter.
Hey.
And with comedian, as well as a great guy, Andrew Kelso, we discuss everything Essendon news. Go for Essendon facts. Discussion about Essendon. I'm good with my facts. So
I think I've got
to
start a Brisbane podcast. Maybe.
Yeah, no, we'll do that.
You've got an Essendon. No,
there's only
you've
three other
doggies.
Brisbane fans that exist in all of Australia, so you'd be hard pressed to find them.
And most of them are all Fitzroy fans, and then you know they don't have long left.
Hey, none of that, Caleb.
Sorry,
should I bring up premierships or?
Oh, damn, Caleb didn't mention it.
I know. That's
why we said you'd mention the premierships when we started talking about Fremantle. Started talking about Bulldogs. I thought you were going to mention the premierships.
Play fair.
Well, I also want to give a shout out to our 18 downloads from Chile last Monday.
Really?
There we go. We got a supporter base in Chile.
Is that someone with a VPN or does
maybe.
Who knows?
But yeah.
Who knows?
We got 2 downloads on Monday from America, but 18. From Chile last Monday. So shout out to our Chile audience.
That's huge over there in Chile. All right. That wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Sports Desk. Pleasure being back with you guys. Unfortunately, I won't be able to be in next week because uni's back on. And I've got to shoot.
That's called uni.
I know. It sucks. Anyway, you two will be back on Wednesday for the final show of season one. I hope to have you both back for season three. But anyways, you can listen to myself, Neve, and Michael on the Friday Sports Desk from 9 to 10. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in to this week's edition of the Sports Desk here on Sin 90.7.